With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello. Just before we get on with today's episode, Chris and I want to tell you all about our Patreon page. It won't take long, but we think you're going to want to hear it.
Because you're missing out, quite frankly.
Massively.
All the more risque stuff that we sometimes think, oh, can we get away with that? We put it on our Patreon pages. And there's over 150 episodes for our $10 subscribers.
Absolutely. So for whatever that works out in UK pounds, what's that, about £7.50 a month?
Yeah, for the price of a bag of chips, for a Savoy and chips, you can actually have us in your ears four times extra a month.
That's four episodes minimum that we put out exclusively for Patreons. Plus, there's loads of... We video most of our episodes now, and the videos, you can watch all of the podcasts now over on Patreon as well. We put up loads of other unique content over there,
yeah, don't we? Yeah, there's pictures there. It's basically our version of our OnlyFans account, isn't it, basically? So you
exactly.
Get the sort of pictures on there of the behind-the-scenes of Stu tucking into a pot noodle, basically. Sort of stuff that shouldn't be available to the public.
No one needs to see that. But that's all. We just thought we'd give you a quick heads up that if you're enjoying these podcasts, then be aware for like £7.50, you can go and listen to over 150 exclusive episodes. And there's some great ones over there with previous guests as well. Loads of names that you're going to recognise if you've been listening to the weekly podcast we put out.
And yeah, and also, if you are a subscriber, we're more than likely to do one of your top fives if you recommend it, because we prioritise the patrons first, don't we, as well?
Absolutely, yeah. So we try and sort of do as many top fives suggested by you lot as well. So, yeah, head over to Patreon. Where can they find out about it, Chris?
Patreon.com/hardcore listing. Easy peasy. And you can watch an intro video there as well of us in jacuzzis and doing sexy stuff.
With Gal Porter.
With Gal Porter. Not doing sexy stuff with Gal Porter. Can I just clear that up? Gal, I'm not trying to drag your name through the mud.
And Scroobius Pip.
Yeah.
All right. patreon.com/hardcore listing.
Enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. It is the podcast each week where we get a special guest on, and that special guest brings a subject to the table. With that subject, they then count down a definitive five within that topic. I'm Stuart Whiffin, I'm one of your hosts, and I am joined today by my co-host.
Yes, it's Christopher Glasson. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope everyone's well. Stu has explained the format. Just to give a quick shout out to our wonderful sponsors, lovebeer.co.uk and Bang Boom Creative. And with Love Beer, you can get a discount at the moment. 15% off if you type in LBHCLP into their promo code. And yeah, you can get loads of wonderful, wonderful beer. And a little shout out to our wonderful producer, who is...
Mr. 76, guest last week or the week before. If you missed that episode, go and check that out. That was one of the sort of bulk of episodes we've done to celebrate getting 1 million downloads.
Indeed it was. And that, my friend, was the most professional introduction we've ever recorded.
Well, you know what? The reason I've done this was because I realise now that the big differences between...
good podcasts and us.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. And it's just, it should someone listen to this podcast for the first time. Normally we start off by slagging off our sponsors, being mean to each other, burping, and just, it's just a shitstorm before we've even kicked off. And so I thought, just to give someone a little bit of context of what we've got coming up, then we can just be ridiculous. But I thought, let's just have that bit where I sound like a bit of a game show host for the first, like, 30 seconds, and then we're away.
So are you, are you assuming I'm bringing in a massive new audience?
Oh, you're not. You shouldn't be bringing anything in. Yeah, we haven't introduced you.
We've got to start this all again now, Adam Richardson from Pod Bible.
Yes, it is. It's Adam. Adam Richardson of Hardest Part of the Ring and podcast, which we will be asking all about shortly. And, of course, he is one of the founders and editor of Pod Bible magazine. Hello.
Hello. Wow, that really was professional.
Thanks.
Is this, I mean, I think we should touch upon the fact that this happened this week. 1 million downloads.
Thank you.
Have you guys been just constantly texting each other back and forth?
Yeah, we've had some nice exchanges for once. It hasn't been the usual. We often think that we should share our text messages on Instagram because they're quite fun. But they're normally quite abusive and we'd probably get cancelled really quickly. But right. This week, we've been quite nice to each other, actually.
I think so.
When we made it, we were like, wow, man, it's something we should be proud of and all that.
Definitely,
stuff.
Definitely.
That is, definitely. Mm. I mean, you've had over 1,000 episodes, so how many episodes have you had? Because you don't number them, do you?
It's 10 listens per episode.
That's what I'm going to say. Spread it out and actually...
Well, it's actually 9 on this because you're one of them, Ed. No,
it's
we're
nice
on...
you still think I listen.
What? What? 176 episodes, I think.
I used to number them. And
I still number them.
Do you still number them? Because yeah. I was looking in the titles the other day and I saw that they didn't have the number. Well, yeah. I looked in the mids and they didn't have the numbers. Mm. But I don't know. What number is it then?
176.
That is good then. That is impressive.
He said that too confidently.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. There may have been an element of guesswork on picking up where we stopped numbering them.
You steamed through that lie and I'm impressed.
I have a feeling I did count through them though.
I don't know. You did not count through them.
That's you can't count that high.
Exactly.
No.
I've worked with you for a little while now. I know.
Haven't got enough fingers.
Like they're so fat, I think sometimes you've glued some together, but it's just like... Just,
do you know what? I've got incredibly small hands compared to my dad. My dad's hands they are...
Fond memories.
They are, like, ridiculous, shuffles. My dad's hands. Yeah. Like I would say each one of my dad's fingers is probably the size of... like when you get like a really like decent sausage from a supermarket, like them big fat ones, it's like his little fingers like one of them. they're quite. I was gonna say it's bananas. Like they're the size of bananas.
Wow. I'm picturing him as Dave Grohl in the Everlong video.
Yes, that's exactly what my dad's hands look like.
Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder. Yeah. What? Yeah, I think this is a generational thing because we're all like snowflakes basically compared to our like dads. Like they all do it. Like my dad always says, at 15 I had a bloody masonry bit and a club hammer and I was just smashing out breeze blocks in the middle of winter on a building site. And I think, I'm really glad that, you know, I didn't have to do that and I just did a paper round, to be honest with you. But that's where it comes from, I think, is a lot of physicality. And obviously your skeletal shape, like if you're an endomorph or a mesomorph. Hardcore Listening, science episode.
Great to be here.
Well, Ad, what are you going to choose today for your top five?
I have chosen... Well, the headline is that I've chosen top five smells.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I've sort of brought you here under false pretenses a little bit, or at least the listeners, because I can't actually smell.
No.
I've got anosmia, so I thought it would actually be quite interesting to hear what you guys rate as your top five smells. Talk a little bit about what I think maybe the top five smells are from having a whole lifetime of hearing people going on about smelling stuff. Mm-hmm. But sort of talk about the top five best things about not being able to smell.
Wonderful.
Because everyone always says, that sucks, that must suck, or, yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, or stuff like that. And it's really not a big deal. I think it works to my advantage, really.
So, yeah, but you can't smell you, Adam, as well. So, I don't know. You've probably lost some friends over the years.
Just well, yeah. I mean, Chris, I've only met you once in the flesh. And you haven't been quick to arrange anything else. So. I mean, there has been a pandemic. But yeah, Stu, I don't know. Do I smell Stu?
No, you smell minty fresh, Ad.
Okay, good. Phew.
I mean, I knew you had no sense of smell. I think we'd been working together on Pop Bible maybe a few months, and I think we was on the tube station, and I said something about a smell, and you went, "Oh, I can't smell," and that's the first time I'd spoke to anyone that that had no sense of smell. And what did you say it's actually called?
Anosmia.
Anosmia.
Anosmia. Yeah, that is the technical term, which actually I didn't know about until, I don't know, probably about 5 years ago, because it's never really been. I'll tell you what it says on Wikipedia. It says anosmia, also known as smell blindness, which I mean I've never heard, and I think it's a bit insulting, really.
Just to clarify, you're not blind as well, are you?
Who said that? Oh God. So apparently, it's the loss of the ability to detect one or more smells. And it can be that people can lose their smell as a consequence of a nasal condition or brain injury, while others are anosmic from birth. And I've just been anosmic from birth, never been able to smell. So it's one of those things where I don't miss it. This is life for me, and it's really is no big deal.
Yeah. Well, it isn't, because you've not had it, and I think that's such a good attitude to have as well, because it's... Yeah, like you say, there are plenty of cons about being able to smell. That's for sure. That's such a. How old was you when you realised?
I can sort of go back to when I was about 7 or 8. We did this thing at primary school. I don't know if you guys did something similar, where the teachers bought a load of different packets of crisps, and then they blindfolded us, and then they shoved us in a cupboard. They got us to smell, to do taste tests on these crisps, and then write down what flavour we thought they were. Mm. And then they got us to smell the crisps and then write down what flavour they were. And I sort of remember kind of going along with it, like them holding up against my nose and pretending to sniff and just being like, okay, well, I'll just write down prawn cocktail as well, because that's what my mates are doing. And that it kind of clicked then, and I went home to my mum and dad. And I said, you know, people always talk about smelling. Is that actually a thing? Like, did something actually happen? And they went, yeah, of course it does. And it kind of went away for a bit, and we didn't talk about it. And
they didn't try and get rid of you then and there?
No. I was excelling in all other areas.
Oh, okay. My
eyesight's incredible. Could
you hear them slagging you off downstairs when you were upset with your new sonic hearing?
See if Uncle Pete will take him.
Over the course of a few years, from when I was about 7 until I was about 12 or something like that, it would come up occasionally, but as I said, it's never really a big deal. And then when I got to my early teens, I sort of thought, hold on a minute, I think I'd quite like to be able to smell. People are talking about smelling, saying certain things smell nice, and obviously you start to realise that I'd be a lot safer in life if I could smell.
Yep.
Smoke, gas, all that kind of stuff. And so I said to my parents, I'd quite like to investigate this. So they took me to the doctors. I had, they did a load of allergy tests, the things where you get loads of different pricks on your arm, and they put these different liquids that represent dogs, cats, house dust, mold, like window mold, all this stuff. And it turned out I was like a little bit allergic to pretty much all these things. And they then had a look up into my nose, and they realised that it was quite congested in there. And I've always been someone who, I'm a bit of a mouth breather. So basically, yeah, but like it's not.
Sorry, our listeners.
Yeah. And in fact, I mean, I bet the listeners could probably hear that as I lean into the microphone, all breathy. But they decided that it would be a good idea to try and burn away some of the tissue in my nose. So I went, had an operation, and they sort of burn away some of the tissue so that it was more open, in the hope that I'd be able to breathe better and maybe I'd be able to smell. And it didn't work. I was able to breathe better through my nose for about 6 months or so, but the smell didn't come. And then that was it, really. We've kind of left it. And then I had years and years and years of just thinking, well, that's it. And then a couple of years ago, decided to Google it, found out it was actually called anosmia, found out there was an anosmia charity, like this big old charity where loads of people who can't smell get together and talk about how tough it is and get a badge and a certificate to say you're part of the club, and thought about getting involved in that but didn't.
Anyone, literally, if you're lonely, anyone can join that club.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
if any of our listeners want to get involved in something, or they quite fancy being an imposter, just go and join that charity, because
I don't think they've got
tests. Can't prove it. They can't. There's no way they can prove that you can't smell.
Well, this is the thing, because I know that, I mean, there's probably like really bad smells where I could put it up against your face and you recoil.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But I do kind of get that. So if I smell something really pokey, like it's like a whiskey or I can't think of anything else, but if I get something like that and I actually take a sniff, I can feel it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or petrol. Mm. I can feel it tingling in my nose, but I don't get any other sensation apart from that.
So where does this leave you in regards to taste?
I spent my whole life going, I can taste fine. And then really I've kind of grown to realise that my taste is really limited. I can taste everything that, again, when you're at school and you see the diagram of a tongue and you know which parts of the tongue apparently taste which things. So I can taste salty, I can taste sour, I can taste sweet, I can taste bitter, I can taste spiciness. But anything that's more aromatic, like herbs, I can never distinguish any herbs. I couldn't tell you if something had garlic in it. It's basically anything that hits the tongue first. So I enjoy food, but I really enjoy like strong flavoured food.
Yeah.
Something needs to be spicy. You know, I really like Thai food because it's always sweet and salty and sour and all that kind of stuff.
That's incredible. My dad was born with a, you know, hair-lip cleft palate. And he suffered with, sense of smell was wrecked. You know, barely had one. He had lots of surgery on his nose. It never really helped. They cut away polyps and stuff to help with his sinuses. And also, again, like his sense of taste was always affected. Like you, he enjoyed food. But I guess it's that thing, isn't it? Like you, because you don't know what it's like, you can't really miss it, can you?
Yeah.
Like there's so, like life's such a broad thing to enjoy that, you know, why focus on something that's absent that you can't prove?
I did want it. There was a period of time in my, it was probably when I was in my teens, in my emo phase, where it's like, oh man, I can't believe I can't smell, writing poems and stuff like that. In reality, if I were to go and have an operation and I woke up, I could smell, it'd probably be fucking awful. Because I'd step out onto the street, I'd be like, what the fuck's that? And somebody would walk past me with bad BO and I'd just vomit onto the floor or something. Everything would just be in really intense, I would imagine, if I could suddenly smell. I'd probably better off without it, or at least that's what I tell myself. Stop myself breaking down.
I think it's lucky that you've, out of the two, I'd keep taste over smell, definitely. And but you say, is it that? I mean, there is some dangers with it, but
yeah.
Of all the senses to lose, like for example, you don't want to lose a sense of style. Look at whiffing. Look at him.
look what happens.
For patrons who are watching this, they can see this is Stu's first new feature of his. Is it a midlife? What is the crisis after a midlife crisis?
Yeah, I was having this conversation with someone yesterday, I'm not sure. I think I had my midlife crisis maybe 8 years ago when I started the swimming in the boxing again, and I think that was like the midlife crisis. So no excuses. No excuses.
Just
a sad man.
It's like a final third life crisis. Yeah. Something like that.
Sorry, Stu. I think he looks great.
Okay. I do, actually. Stu sent the picture. Oh, no, he didn't. I saw it on Instagram.
For those that are wondering, I got some peroxide out and bleached my hair yesterday.
As if you did it. You
no, sorry, I didn't.
Stylists come.
I did have a hairdresser that done it, but... I upset him because I did say when he cut my hair, like whenever lockdown was lifted to open the hairdressers last week or whatever, I said, I've been thinking about just bleaching it because I was getting quite a bit of grey in there as well. And
you was. Sorry,
right.
That was unnecessary, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it's still in the beard, as you can see, because, as you said on the last episode, you look like you've dipped your face in an ashtray. And I was like, oh, thanks, Chris. So that might have been the final thing that pushed me into doing it. But I just thought, oh, you know what, we're in lockdown. Like, I know it looks all right, because I had it for years when I was younger. And I got sent an amazing picture of me next to... Amy Borman of Mamma Mamma, where we are now looking at starting a Bros tribute act, because we have identical haircuts now.
Incredible.
It does look good. It's annoying. I saw the Instagram and my immediate thought was, I need to jump on the Pod Bible group and have a go. And then I was like, it looks quite good. You do actually look a bit younger, I reckon.
Better.
I tell you what, Adam, that the good thing about it looking good is you can go that much harder on him now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll bear that in mind.
You can go that much harder because there's less chance he's going to sort of like be staring at the ceiling at night questioning the choice. You can really... Because he knows inherently it looks good. It means you can really fucking be horrible to him.
Okay.
I don't know if I can reach any further levels of low with you, Stu, but I'm going to try, mate.
Million downloads. Many, many years of friendship there. That's how it operates.
So shall we start? How are we going to do this?
I love that. There's my two business partners there from separate businesses talking about...
how we can destroy
them. How you can destroy them on separate groups with other people. Brilliant. Thank you. Cheers, lads. Right, number five, Adam.
Number five. I thought I'd start off serious. Farts are just funny.
Oh.
That is the best thing about not being able to smell.
Yeah, it is.
I've spent my whole life thinking just farts are hilarious and being absolutely devastated when you have a fart and it doesn't make a noise. I adore farting, which is probably a bit strong because it's not like it's something I'm extremely passionate about, but there's nothing better, is there? When somebody does a big old raspy fart, whether it's you or a mate, it's just really great, and then I don't get any of the negative side effects.
No, exactly. I do. I think it's a bit like actions speak louder than words. I think words are more broadly can be less damaging, and a fart sound is great. That's all the funny side. It's that smell that you don't want. And one of my best mates, Mark, he notoriously must have IBS. He's never really looked into it, but it's bad. His farts are so bad. And if I don't hang out with him for a month and I go round there and literally within 5 minutes he'll let one rip. And I'm like, that is the bad side of hanging out with you, mate, is that you're constantly sniffing shit. And it's not. Like, it has gone way beyond funny. Like, you know, like, who is it? Who's the comedian? Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey did that.
Okay, yeah.
Jim Carrey did it. Stu, you know this comedian. Who's the comedian Jim Carrey did the life of?
Andy Kaufman. Man in the Moon.
He liked... He found jokes himself funny, even if no one else did. Like, it's that for Mark is how he's had to make his farts, because none of his mates... I think we've all got him on notice. We might stop talking to him soon. So I think you're very lucky that you can't smell farts.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, with farts is that I think I've had like a lifetime of now knowing what the feeling is in my stomach and just in my head and in myself when it's going to be a smelly one. Because obviously, I mean, I never actually do one and then I never actually know what it's like. Obviously, if I'm around people, then, you know, you get the reaction. But even when I'm sat in my office by myself working, I can be like, smelly fart happening now.
Are you telling me that your loss of sense of smell has made you more attuned to be able to detect farts? Because... That would make you like the daredevil of the farting world.
which is a nice
joke.
I'm really glad you got in with farts as number five, because the minute you said you had no sense of smell, I could see both of Chrissy's eyes just rapidly moving from left to right just while he was having this inner monologue of just how can he mention fart and not offend you. Because it was I could see it was like written all over his face. The first thing his mind went to was, Wow, what about farts?
he doesn't get to enjoy farts. But that's the thing, I do. I enjoy them a lot. And it's interesting now because I've got a 4-year-old daughter and obviously she's at the age now where she's starting to appreciate poo-based and fart-based humour. And so she'll come home from nursery and then she'll just say something like, "You're a poo face."
Ah, and, fucking you know, brilliant.
It is amazing. It is. And then occasionally you have a little bit where you're like, oh, should I be trying to discourage this a little bit? And it's fine. But it's also, it means that we both really enjoy a fart together. Yeah. So when she farts, it's hilarious and we have a good laugh about it. And I'm now at the stage where I can... And if, I don't know, yeah, I haven't done this in front of my wife, so Hannah, if you listen to this, I do it and it's fine. We can have a chat about it and I don't think it's abusive. But I will lie her down, pin her down, sit on her and fart. And she loves it and we have a laugh.
Yeah.
And she's four and it's part of an education, isn't it?
It is as well, because also that means she's not going to freak out when someone tries that on a like, well,
exactly.
School. She'll be like, yeah, I'll take your fart and I'll raise your two farts.
And it's not every fart, you know. It's just the good ones or the ones I know are going to be particularly loud.
76, if you can edit that bit out, please, because we'll be forwarding this to the NSPCC.
Oh, God. It's the end of me. Yeah, imagine. God. Anyway.
Farts.
Yeah, so I particularly enjoy doing that. I just think, yeah, farts are brilliant.
Incredible. Incredible techers. What are we going to do, Stu? Do you want to throw anything in there? Any smells that you dislike or like?
I'll do one I dislike.
Yeah, go on then.
Bleach.
Which after yesterday.
No, which is really weird.
Oh, alright, we've talked about your hair.
No, not that's a different smell.
When I was getting this really good haircut.
Like, no, it's like household bleach. Like you know, the toilet's being bleached or like, you know, you bleach the sink or whatever. Like anything like that, every now and again, like if Carol's sister is the worst for it. She loves a drop of bleach and she's got like, she's a cleaner and she's like, and like,
I was going to say,
but you go, you know, when she gets her clean on, it's just like, everything's bleached. And like, if I'm in a room, like put it this way, even if I am going to the kitchen and Carol happens to have like recently bleached the sink or something like that, I can't sit in that room. I have to go to another room. That smell of bleach, chlorine, I'm fine with. You know, obviously peroxide and things like that, I'm fine with. But like that household bleach smell, oh God, gross! Can't have it.
Really?
Mm. A lot of people really like it though.
I think yeah, I've heard that. I think it's because it has that psychological sort of like link to cleanliness.
Definitely.
And the death of germs, as opposed to people wanting to fucking, you know, slap a bit on their neck, you know, before they go on a night out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that sort of smell. But yeah, no, I kind of see where you're coming from on that, Stu. I've rarely walked into a toilet stinking of bleach and been desperate to stay there for very long.
Yeah, bleach is another one where if I get my nose close enough to it, you can definitely get the fumes.
Yeah.
And start spinning out.
Yeah, yeah.
Wake up 8 hours later.
Do it all over again.
Yeah.
Chris?
What do you want, a bad smell or a good smell? What do you want?
You choose.
I'll go with a bad smell. Halitosis. God bless anyone who suffers from halitosis, I tell you.
Yeah.
It is like, when you... Stu's checking his breath. When you have bad breath, and you can often link to bad breath to issues with just gum hygiene. And we knew a lot less about this at schools when we were kids and stuff like that. Hopefully you'd think now that people who are getting told that they've got bad breath and that they just use a bit of floss and you can resolve it. But halitosis, I really, you know, that is... I don't know how people solve it, but I knew someone with halitosis in an office. And boy, by gum, that was powerful. That was powerful. Rough. It's nothing like bad breath. And one time I remember us getting on the DLR, and a busy DLR, and I stood about 4 inches away from his face because of how we got cramped on the DLR, and my eyes were streaming from it.
Oh God!
Yeah, it was so incredibly powerful, and I really do. It's almost one of those things I can't joke about. Because I feel so sorry for people if they suffer from it.
Because
I'm quite... I don't have the best sense of smell, but I'm a bit... I don't know. I'm not very resilient to bad smells. And Stu's thinking... You're probably thinking he's had, and that's a lie. Because I stink, but...
I
some people look like... Just aside, some people look like they smell. Like, I've never smelled anybody. And I don't know what beer, but you do walk past somebody and you think they have a look that they smell, whether it's just like...
Why are you looking at me?
You can't tell who I'm looking at. Could be, I'm looking at one of you. But, yeah.
Some
people do have that look.
I'd done the, maybe 8-9 years ago, I'd done the Atkins diet. When everyone was doing the thing where you just literally just eat meat. Mm. And lost a lot of weight quite quickly. And didn't drink booze, obviously. And then I went to a gig at the Castlemaine with Big Papa Jay. And I decided to have a drink, which was a bad idea if you've been doing that for like 3 weeks. And had a couple of drinks and was pissed out of my head. And I remember like putting my arm around Just and just doing that drunken sort of chat in the ear hole. And he was like, dude, your breath is out of control. and I think that is one of the things that is a downside of the Atkins diet is your breath can be fucking terrible. Mm. Mm. And there was also a lot of chewing gum going on throughout the Atkins days. Did you ever try that?
I haven't done that. Have you, Adam?
No. I've never really needed to. I just haven't.
Yeah. Well, you are quite trim lads, aren't you?
Like, I'm quite fat. I look skinny, but I'm actually fat, Stu. It's the truth of it.
Yeah, I don't really put. I've never been fat. I've never really put on much weight. It's one of those things where when I was younger, I always wanted to be able to put on weight and put on bulk and stuff like that. But it obviously the positive side is that I don't tend to get bulky. I've never really had been on a diet unless it's just healthy eating, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it to you, Adam. I don't think even Stu knows this. I've done a lot of fasts.
What's your fasts? Number four, Ed?
I've heard you talk about fasting a few times, Chris.
See, I knew he still listened.
When you've been on Pip's pod. Number four, so the next one, I am really handy to have around the house.
Okay.
Just to big myself up. And this goes back to when I lived in a student house to now. But obviously, if there's blocked drains, I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
There's mouldy food in the fridge that has just gone putrid and needs to get chucked away.
Yeah.
I'll eat it. No, I'll bin it. Stinky bins. I mean, the first time this ever happened, the first uni house I moved into, we moved in and I moved in with three other guys. And we went into the kitchen and everything had obviously been cleared out except the bin. I don't know why. The people who lived there before hadn't emptied the bin and it had been sat there for the whole summer.
Wow.
And it was one where we opened it up. And immediately the other three guys sort of recoiled across the kitchen because it stank so much. And I was just like, what? But I could see inside that it had all gone a bit mouldy. And as we lifted the bin bag out, it split. And then a load of maggots were in there. And it was disgusting. But didn't really bother me at all. So obviously found it quite intriguing to have a little look at the maggots. And I cleared it up. And then for 3 years of university, I was the guy who would deal with that kind of thing. And that's obviously, you know, since having a baby, nappies, no big deal. You can always deal with that kind of stuff.
You could earn, you could win a few bets with it as well, couldn't you? Because you could, you know, by the hygiene issues, you could literally wipe a little bit of shit on your nose for a bet.
Well, I did something similar again at the start.
I don't know where I'm going with that, Stu. I'm sorry, man. I don't know where I was going.
I did something at uni, at the start of uni, where I told all of my new mates that I couldn't smell, and they were just like, oh, prove it. And I said, well, you know, I will. How do you want me to prove it? And a guy got out this old milk they had in his fridge that had gone off, and it was all like lumpy and horrible. And he said, have a massive sniff of this. I went, all right, yeah, I will. So I took the lid off, held it up to my nose, and literally like...
Oh, even watching you do that would make me wretch, I think.
Yeah, and I was fine, and it was cool, and everything was okay until about 6 hours later. And it probably was the alcohol, because we then had this cocktail of horrible stuff that had orange juice and red wine in it.
Yeah, I've been there, mate.
And I was sick all over Asda car park, but it was a kind of sick that it was a horrible session of vomiting.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty convinced it may have had something to do with that, sniffing in all that bacteria as well from that milk.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I'm good to have around, basically, guys.
So, you mentioned...
Is everything all right at home, mate? Is everything...
Well, you
please, could I move in?
You mentioned, like, student days and things like that. And I guess... And you obviously mentioned throwing up all over the car park. So, someone throws up all over the carpet in the student digs. You caught to do that as well?
No, I'm not a complete pushover. You know, if I start clearing up my mate's vomit as well, then... Yeah. I'm basically their doormat, aren't I? I can't.
Yeah.
That's a bit too far.
That's a situation they've created.
Does vomit smell?
Like,
not okay. good.
It's, like, yeah, your not faces good. Are telling me
not
yes.
Good. It's okay. not. It's up there with the worst smells.
Yeah. Really? Okay.
Yeah. It's up. And the thing with that is that it can.
I suppose that makes sense.
It'll make you throw up. That's the thing with it. Like. Kids, and I've been part of, like, have you seen Stand By Me, where they all start throwing up? I've been part of a vomit chain at junior school, and I've seen someone smelt it, and other kids watch me, yacked.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's like dominoes. It's a really sexy chain reaction. That, yeah. Go on, Shu, you was going to say something there.
I just think, like, if six's one of the things that you ain't doing, then you ain't fucking Andy in my ass. Like... you're not that handy to have around. Like, you know, I can deal with a bin, but it's like it's when the shit hits the fan, and it is things
I'll
like
clean that up.
All right, you're back in.
When you saw yourself, Stu, which I'm sure you regularly do, just on the sofa in an evening, I'll. What kind of sofas have you got? Are they leather, wipe clean ones, or
no? They're not leather. They're not leather.
Pleather.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll wipe up your poo. I won't clean up your sick.
Yeah. All right.
That's
all
the
right.
takeaway
Deal.
From this.
Deal. All okay. right. Thanks, man. Number three.
Number three. I have saved an absolute fortune on aftershave and deodorant in my lifetime.
I don't think that was a very wise choice, but go on. Keep justifying it, Adam.
Yeah, okay, I can sort of see that. There's a couple of things I've written down. I thought, is this going to come across well?
Why do you think we're doing this podcast over Zoom?
Well, I'm pretty sure my wife consistently tells me that I've never really smelt. And she thinks it might be some sort of weird superpower that because I can't smell, I don't really emit any smells. Like, I don't really have an odour. And even when I get hot and sweaty, I don't ever tend to get BO or anything like that.
Incredible.
She might just be being nice to me, who knows.
Probably. But, she's probably at the support group just telling her what it's like to live with someone that smells.
Bleaching her nose out. Bleaching her nose out as you speak.
No, but, yeah, so I often... Yeah, this is the one maybe... I often don't really wear deodorant because I forget.
Yeah.
It's not part of my routine. I never think, oh, and I need to make sure I don't smell or I need to make sure I smell nice because it's never...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Smell is just not a concept that I have as part of me. So obviously when it's really hot, and you get the days where you just go a step outside and you're sweating, I will wear deodorant or antiperspirant and stuff like that. But generally, I you know, winter time or whenever, I don't really put it on. But aftershave's a big one. You know, when you get to like 16, 17, 18 and you start getting given aftershave for Christmas presents, you get like the Lynx packs with the aftershave and the deodorant. I'd always, they just sit there. And in fact, I've got aftershave in the bathroom cabinet, which I've had since I was about 21. I mean, it probably doesn't smell anything now. I don't know how that works if they lose their smell, but I just
they
don't.
Go off,
I don't buy it.
But yeah.
I wonder if it's like you know, whiskey. When you get if the seal has been open, then the fumes slowly start to seep out. But so aftershave, I've never had to spend any money on it. I know a lot of people who do spend a lot of money on it, or I'll go around to mates and they'll have, you know, five or six different aftershaves lined up and they're like, well, that's my going out one, that's my work one, that's my hanging out at home one or whatever.
Where are you with aftershave, Chris? Because it, like, personally, like, since lockdown, because I'm not digging you out here, Ed, but Carol's got a really, really sensitive smell. Like, and so she really doesn't like aftershave. And so when lockdown started, I get up and I just get aftershave from the body shop. Like,
they do some nice ones.
Yeah, and just because I know that it's not been sprayed in something size. My routine is obviously just put a bit of deodorant on and then a couple of sprays of that. And when lockdown started, Carol's like, can you not wear aftershave? Like, because, you know, we're in this room together a lot now, and I really don't like the smell of aftershave. And I was like, oh, all right. And then, yeah, I've not wore aftershave for like however long it's been now, 3-4 months. And I'm actually thinking of going back into the office in London on Tuesday. And I'm thinking, oh, and I was literally down in bed this morning thinking, oh, I could put some aftershave on. And like, and I'm not, are you one that sort of wears aftershave a lot, Chris? Do you spend a lot of money on aftershave?
So, I don't know, about 7 years ago, an ex at the time said, you've got to have a signature scent. And she used to wear Tom Ford Black Dahlia, which was quite expensive. Not Creed sort of prices, but it is expensive enough. But she always smelled great, and it was always sort of like a link into them, because obviously one of the great things about a sense of smell is how it brings up memories. And that's a fantastic part of it. I can't, like, you know, if I was going to say one thing, it's not so much the smell. Smells smell good, but to me, Adam, the most fantastic part of smell is it's the least understood of all our senses is the olfactory one. And how it links you to memories is fucking so powerful. And like, so I remember, if I smell CK1, I can tell you nights out when I was 15. It takes me to a night out. And it's like, so powerful. So I started, that's a roundabout way of saying, shoot, I do. And my favourite one is Murdoch Black Tea. And I've run out of it, actually. I've been meaning to buy a bottle of it. Because at the start of lockdown, I stopped wearing it. But what I've noticed is, I think it's good to sort of, like, you know, a bit like what you do, Shu. You get up, you get changed, you do your things, you get ready. So your day is like a normal day. And I just think that sort of self-care process is all part of your psychological makeup. And so I have been making more of an effort just at home in how I dress and whatever, because I think it makes me feel good about myself. You know, and I don't need to dress up to feel good. You know, I'm not wearing high heels around the house, but to just sort of, like, you know,
it makes sense.
Yeah, to put and so yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll put a dab of aftershave on, but mostly, I mean, we were joking about this, Adam, the other day. And the reason why I said this might have been an error on your behalf is because a couple of months back, I was getting bumps under my armpits from aftershave, from antiperspirants, and I don't like the idea of blocking up my pores. So when I can get away with it, I don't put it on. But what my girlfriend started saying, my girlfriend, a bit like shoes, my girlfriend's got like a crazy good sense of smell. It's fucking, it's scary how good her smell is, and sense of smell. And she's been recently, Chris, you've got to put deodorant on, mate, you stink. So I've had to go back to doing it, but I use sort of natural ones, like sort of like the soap bar ones, the rot salt and stuff like that. And they're a lot kinder to my armpits and the environment.
It's definitely something I get. I do get a bit paranoid about it occasionally, but it's usually when it's hot. So yeah. I associate sweat with smelling.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm aware, you can have BO, you know, somebody who's got bad BO could have a shower and then could still be a bit smelly. Is that right?
Sort of. I mean, like, as I've got older, I've noticed that I'd need to
shower
more.
You tell me. You're the
more.
Expert.
Like, but I'd have to like sometimes I don't think it's enough. Like any scent on your body, it's not enough to right. wash once in those areas. You have to wash once or twice thoroughly. And so, okay. but with BO, I honestly, a bit like you, mate. Unless it's really hot, I'm exercising. I don't tend to kick up. Like and I don't know what it is about my metabolism or whatnot, but I just don't tend to sweat a lot. But it is when yeah. I sweat that I tend to smell. You know,
I've heard it's also like the second sweat. So if I was to go out now and go for a run or something and come back, I might not necessarily be really that stinky. But then if I was to sort of let that dry and then right. get hot again,
yeah,
that's the couple of times when my wife has said, okay, you need to have a shower, is if I've done some exercise and haven't showered straight away yeah. and then, yeah, it's like a double up or something. I don't
yeah,
know.
That's I can't tell you how powerful the smell inside a boxing glove is. So, you would never wear someone else's boxing gloves because you sweat like a maniac when you box, and then your hands are wrapped as well. And so the sweat is on the wraps and filters into the material of the gloves. And then you can't really do anything to dry them out. And like, I've got a bag that has got my boxing stuff in, and it has to live in the garage. It can't live in the house. And if I leave it in the boot of my car, like for like more than a couple of days, I get in the car and I think, oh, I can smell my gloves. And like, it's such a pungent smell. And like, no one will ever be like, oh, can I borrow your gloves? It's like, no, you're right, thanks. And so you go into some gyms and there's like loads of gloves just laying around for you to wear. And it's like, don't put your hands in them because your hands will come out of there smelling of about 15 different people's stale sweat. And it's awful smell. Yeah.
That does sound gross.
When I played ice hockey for a very short period of time at
Where's that come from? Fuck off.
Yeah, I did at uni. I was quite good, surprisingly. It was quite good at I've never
really
been, yeah, I'm terrible at football. I can't hit a football hard. Watching me try and kick a football hard is straight up the most embarrassing thing you'll ever see. I can't do it.
Why do I not know this? Ice hockey.
Bloody hard.
Yeah, I quite so, mean so slap shot.
Did you used to skate a lot?
Not really. I actually learned how to ice skate whilst learning how to play ice hockey. It's actually easier because you've got a stick to keep you up.
Okay.
But I got into it real quick. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's great. But part of the thing on ice hockey is the gear that you wear. And to be honest with you, I wasn't at the level where I was fully padding up because I wasn't playing really competitive. I was literally finding my feet with it. I played it for, the reason why I mentioned it, I played it for like 6 months. But the guys who were sort of like really doing playing the full games and that, they wouldn't ever wash their gear because the smell is quite intimidating as well when you're pushing people up against the thing. But think, like, it's not cold when you're playing ice hockey, mate. It's fucking, you're sweating your balls off and there's loads of layers. So, yeah, it's the same thing. It's worse than this. It's not just a pair of pads. It's fucking the whole outfit.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying, because that's probably... you're a bit of a rad dude, aren't you, Chris?
Oh, mega rad. I'm tubular. I'm beyond radical. I'm probably at tubular level.
Right. Because it's similar when you go snowboarding, isn't it? You put on all those layers in the morning, and when you're on the lift to the top of the mountain, you're freezing your bollocks off, and then as soon as you get to the bottom, you're wanting to strip off.
Definitely. Yeah.
You said about that before. When you get to the bottom, you always want to strip off. I'm sure you've mentioned that before, Chris.
I don't like these sexual innuendos, thanks, mate.
I'm talking about snowboarding.
Right, I'm sure you are.
Just back on aftershave, one final thing is another reason why I never wear it. I don't really tend to... Obviously, there was a period where I did get it as a gift, but most of my friends and family now are aware that it's a pointless gift. But I did get given one once by a mate... which I thought was a bit weird, and I immediately got paranoid that he just emptied the bottle and pissed in it, like done a little piss, put the screw top back on, And then just picture me just spraying a little bit of his piss.
What a mate's for if it isn't for that. If someone hasn't done that to you, Adam, you don't have friends.
That's what I get paranoid about, because I would have no idea. Like, okay, you know, if we're going out for a nice meal tonight, maybe I'll make an effort, you know. Little spray a little bit of my mate's piss on my neck. So I tend to be genius.
It.
It would, wouldn't it?
That's the sort of thing that in my mind didn't exist until you said it, and now like I'll be like to Stu after this, you've got to find some way of getting a shitty smell on that. That is incredible.
No, it's not going to happen.
No.
You've got to find somebody else who's an osmic who you can do it to. That's what you've got to do.
But both next on your list and a pungent smell, number two
is I've just written down I can pretty much eat anything. So we talked about the fact that I get all the taste that are on my tongue.
Yeah.
But if I go to a restaurant or we go anywhere, I enjoy all food. And I don't know if that's necessarily just because I can't smell. You know, some people are pickier than others anyway. But I will pretty much delve in with everything and anything. And as long as it's well seasoned and it's got flavour, then I'm up for it. Which I know some people are put off by certain smells of some food. And, you know, some things turn people's stomachs. And that's not an issue.
I mean, Parmesan was the original one for, like, when I was a kid. And I'd smell that and I'd be like... Which you also don't know.
Really?
Smell of his feet. It's that certain cheeses that are absolutely they can still smell absolutely fucking god awful, but taste.
Did
like
we mention this
heavy.
The other day, Chris? Did we mention Stinking Bishop the other day?
I mean, we've recorded trillions of hours of podcast. We have 100% talked about Stinking Bishop, mate. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if we've
because
done
that's the thing. Yeah, I'm sure we have in recent weeks, because that's the first thing that I think of, which is the cheese that once it's in your mouth, it's delicious, but to get it past your nose, it's pungent and like, but it tastes delicious, and yeah, right. And I guess so. If you was to go to like an Indian restaurant, would you pick something really, really spicy because you'd get a sensation from that, or
yeah. Yeah, I don't go for the spiciest thing on the menu or anything like that. But I always get spicy, and that's like whenever I order a pizza, I'll always get pizza with chili or jalapenos on or whatever it might be. I always want my food to be spicy. I'm not quite at the level where I'll add chili sauce to everything at home, but I do have quite a few different chili sauces that I'll add to stuff, because that's the worst thing with any food is when it's bland. And I think there are quite a few foods that are naturally bland and maybe rely on the smell. Or one thing is fish. Like fish, yeah. I don't know if this is just the same for most people, but if you give me a mouthful of fish, I'm not going to be able to distinguish what kind of fish it is.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, completely. But I completely understand why you're saying that as well. Because it is.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot more nuance in fish. And I think also it's one of the... For me, anyway, it was one of the last things that I really got into, because there is,
right.
Yeah, it's a milder taste in and of its own between, say, tuna, cod, even the whitey fish and the more fleshy ones. It's much more subtle. It really is. So right, I can completely understand why you'd think it's pointless. But fish curry, like I made a fish curry the other day. It was really hot.
I do like fish curry.
It was incredible.
Yeah, a few years ago we had. I think it was an anniversary or something, we went to a really nice fish restaurant in Brighton, one of the biggest ones, one of the best ones. But we were sat there and I was like, oh, this is a mistake. Because I got, I can't remember if it was a starter or something, but I got like a dressed crab where you get the shell and it's got all the different crab meat.
Yeah.
And I was eating it. I was like, it's not really doing much for me. I think I need to slather it in loads more pepper or whatever it is. And I mean, a lot of the time with food, it's all about the condiments and about the sauces and not necessarily about the flavour that I'm getting from the main ingredient.
I can totally see that being a fucking waste of time and a load of hard work, because when you're breaking open a crab, it's quite a lot of effort. So if you're doing that and you're getting crab meat, which it really is a subtle taste, that's an incredible waste of time.
So that happens a lot.
I'm trying to think if there's any other stinky foods that obviously the cheeses, but Stu, is there any foods that you think are sort of like unbearable?
Any blue cheese?
Yeah, but other than cheese.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I've heard of any. Obviously, there's certain fruit, isn't there? Is it the durian fruit? But that's not like a common thing you get in the supermarket.
Yeah. Fish is definitely one. It puts my girlfriend off. My girlfriend doesn't like too fishy fish.
Oh, obviously vinegar.
You hate vinegar, don't you?
Like, yeah, people put vinegar on anything. And it's the smell more than the taste. Like the smell of it. Do you put vinegar on chips, Ed?
Yeah. Yeah, not much. Hannah, my wife, loves it. And whenever we smell vinegar anywhere, she's immediately like, right, we've got to get fish and chips tonight. And I know that's definitely one of those smells, isn't it, that people absolutely love. I hear people going on about all the fucking time. My presence when I've told them I can't smell.
It's a strange one, Adam, because if you could smell, you'd probably go, first time you smell vinegar, you go, really? Is that really a good smell? But yeah. I don't know. There's something about that that's like Pavlov's dog, really.
I'd rather have a few drops of your mate's piss on my chips than them.
Okay, we can arrange that.
100%. 100%.
Chris, I'll tell you what, before we get to ads number one, do you want to give us a smell you like?
Yeah, well, I was going to say that, actually, Pavlov's dog. If I walk into a Nando's, I start losing my mind. And I wouldn't even say Nando's has got a smell, but I wouldn't say it's one of the most thingies. I do love the smell of rain on concrete or the smell before a storm. That is a thing. And it does smell really nice. It smells it smells fresh, and it opens up my mind. They're two that are quite common. Well, certainly the smell of rain or just before it is something that I really do love. How about you then, matey? What smells do you like?
I like, it sounds really stupid, and it's not too dissimilar from your smell, Chris. Not you, a wet pavement. But I like that kind of when you're. And I'm going to mention the swimming and being in them areas again.
Oh, yeah.
But when you get up in the morning and there's dew on the floor.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible.
And you're in the countryside. Yeah. That smell is the best smell to wake up to.
Oh,
And then, it sounds really weird, but the smell of a wetsuit. Like, it's a strange smell. It's a very unique smell. But, yeah, just that when I smell a wetsuit, I know that there's joy coming.
Yeah.
And I connect that with that.
Well, so even if you go and get your wetsuit out of the cupboard or whatever, straight away.
I just think, I know what I need to do. Yeah. Just the, whatever the material a wetsuit's made out of. And the fact that, you know, it's been in a lot of lakes and it's been left outside to dry out and then put in my wet bag. And then it still holds on to a lot of that smell. I mean, I've never really been like someone that's done water sports or anything like that, and so I've never really sort of smelt a wetsuit in any other way. But no, even if I go to like Decathlon or something, and I start looking at the wetsuits,
rubbing your face on
like
the wetsuits.
I could. Like
sorry,
that,
sir.
Could
you,
sorry, sir. I've just come. That.
Sorry, sir. Could you keep going?
Yeah, that smells good. And Owen.
Wow. Okay.
I've got one more.
Yeah. Go on.
Go on. You can say something.
A carpet shop.
Yes. Anything like that, mate. Carpet shops, brand new stationery, new trainers, fresh baked bread, and then a very finite one. This morning, Games Workshop released a new box set, and I was like, I won't buy that. Absolutely no.
What's your number one, Ed?
No, listen, wait. So I was waiting to be able to buy it, and I was lucky enough to get one. And when I get that, and I'll get to lift that lid and smell the plastic, it's like, it's a strange smell, but it smells really good. It's like when you open up a brand new iPhone. Do you know what I mean? And you get that new product smell.
Oh. No, I don't. I
Yeah, sorry.
I did make a note, actually, of things that what I think are the top five smells going off what people bang on about the most. And you've mentioned, I won't go into detail, but fresh bread, fresh coffee, cut grass. Is that
sort of
a lot of people going about that? Bacon, cooking bacon.
Oh, fucking hell.
I literally, before you joined this call, the first thing I said to Chris was, my neighbours are cooking bacon.
Right.
Bacon smells does amazing. Something to your brain. Does.
Yeah. And then tarmac was the last one. I hear people like freshly laid tarmac.
It's a strange smell, that, but I sort of get it.
Very strange.
Yeah, I sort of get it. It's a bit of a druggy smell.
I'm not a fan of that smell. Weed. I think weed smells really nice.
Sometimes I go in and out loving the smell of marijuana. When I used to smoke it a lot, obviously, you go crazy. Now I smell it and I feel a bit like granddad. I'm a bit like, ooh. reminds me of times that I'm glad are behind me, really, if anything. So.
It is weird because, I'll go around the shop sometimes and the kids, you know, the young lads are all, like, sort of, like, milling around outside the shops having a little joint and the old man in me wants to just go, like, bloody kids. But then I just think, God, that smells nice. All right, boys.
You're probably doing exactly the same thing at their age.
You'll be hanging out with them soon, mate. You'll be borrowing my skateboard and all sorts.
What up?
Exactly. Where you're going.
Oh, dear. Right, number one, Ed.
Number one, we kind of mentioned it earlier, but it's that my other senses are heightened. I truly believe that my eyesight, I do have to wear glasses usually when I'm working, but my eyesight is good for non-computer-based stuff. But my hearing is fucking incredible. Test me. Yeah.
Did you hear that? Patreon videos.
Patreon videos. Subtitles are available on 888.
But you would have seen that. That's really cool. I guess. So it's good if you're a music lover as well, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the biggest. It is really good. Quite often at home, it tends to be a bit of a negative because having a baby. And you know, she's four. But if she does a little noise in a dream or something, I'm awake. And if she makes when it comes to bedtime, like trying to fall to sleep, and quite often getting woken up, having a sensitive hearing actually sucks a bit because it takes me ages to get to sleep. I hear anything. I need like complete silence. I really hate earplugs. So I don't use earplugs or anything, but. You know, if a door downstairs is creaking slightly, then I'll have to go down and, you know, wedge it. Or if one of the cats is purring in another room.
Sorry, is your house haunted?
Put it outside. Well, you know, you have a window open, you get a bit of a draft. But, I mean, it also means that I can quite often, you know, Hannah will be downstairs when I'm working and she'll be talking to Alex, our daughter, about something. And then they'll be like, we'll make sure we talk to Daddy about that later. And then I'll be like, well, no, it's all right. I just heard that whole conversation. You've got to remember, I've got super hearing. And my sense, I mean, you'll know this, Stu. My sense of touch off the scale.
So delicate.
No, I don't know if that really counts. But, yeah, hearing and sight and just generally
being awesome.
Just being awesome. I'm just fucking incredible, apart from the fact I can't smell. That's the last one. I wouldn't say it's my number one. They're not in order, these, but that is the last one.
Okay.
So good.
So before we wrap things up, let's talk about your podcast.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's Hardest Part of the Ring. It's wrestling-related. I know you love wrestling, Stu.
Massive fan.
Well, you like it, didn't you, Chris?
You've been to a couple of shows.
Yeah, do you know
Chris?
What? The last sort of year and a half, I haven't been. And it's a shame because I just like hanging out with my mate, Pip, really, and just dicking around, like annoying him that I don't really remember anything from the last time I went. But I absolutely love it. I actually think the whole event is incredible. The wrestlers, what they can do in the ring and how they said it and their sense of humour and then the crowd, I think it's fucking the shit. I really do. But it's one of those ones where I quite like to breeze in and out of it. I'm quite happy having that relationship with it. I'm a bit like that with everything anyway, Adam. I like to just...
Yeah.
I like a life's like tapas for me. I like little bits of everything.
Yeah, that's one thing with, I think if you do any podcast that it revolves around reviewing stuff, then, I mean, I do have times when I'm like, oh, fuck, I've got to sit and watch 3 hours now of a wrestling event, which I know is probably going to be pretty average, but then we're going to talk about it on the podcast. That can be a bit of a pain. But, yeah, so that's what it is. It's me and three other mates who we used to work together. A couple of them have done bits and bobs of work in the wrestling industry, and we review pay-per-views, we review shows, we do top fives, all wrestling related, we do quizzes, we do rewind episodes where we go back and look at classic pay-per-views from the 90s and watching Hulk Hogan and all that stuff, and yeah, it's just it comes out every Wednesday. It was very amateur. It started off just us doing it for ourselves, and we had about 10 listeners, but it's grown and grown and grown. And obviously, since starting to do Pod Bible stuff, Pip's a big fan of wrestling. He started listening to it. Now he listens weekly, as far as I'm aware. And we had the live show at the podcast festival last year, day after you guys. And it's grown. And we've got a really good sort of community of people who get involved and send feedback and messages. And it's just really good fun. And wrestling is one of those things that is just complete. It's nonsense, really. And, you know, anybody who comes to it and starts watching it or looks over your shoulder, walks into a room and is like, what the fuck are you watching? I understand that reaction.
Yeah.
But when you get into it and you just see it as like a soap opera and a piece of theatre and enjoy all the stupid elements of it, then it's just really good fun.
Listening to Pip, I think Pip helped me sort of see that side of it more, like after when I was a kid and watching it, just because I couldn't really follow anything. But Pip's excitement and you know, revelation in the storytelling, I think it is brilliant. And the fact that they link that storytelling in with a very fucking difficult art form, really, I think, you know, it's really good. It's pucker.
Yeah, the negative side is that it's like a joke of an industry. The WWE, an awful company, and the people in charge of it are complete arseholes. And obviously there's been loads of negativity recently around Brit Rest stuff and people speaking out, as they have been in loads of different industries. Yeah. But seeing it unfold in wrestling has just been really quite distressing to read some of the stuff that's been going on. But yeah, we'll stick with it and keep watching. And mainly the podcast is us getting together and having a good laugh. And I think I like to think that a lot of our listeners sort of stick with us, not because we're experts when we talk about wrestling, because we're totally not. Similar with you two.
What?
They tune in to hear you guys talk and have a laugh and take the piss out of each other.
I've got a few
expert on anything.
I've got a few bones to pick with you. One is, firstly, dial back 4 minutes. If you think you got away with saying you do top fives on your podcast, we need a kickback from that now, Adam.
Yep.
Because that's top fives is our thing. We came up with the concept of top five in things.
What's the date of your first episode?
Secondly,
I can't remember.
Shit! I can tell you. I think it was the 17th of March, 2017.
Yeah.
It's quite specific.
Okay. Yeah. We were. I think we were August 2017. Nice, so yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. But we will need.
Thanks, guys.
We will need some form of financial
compensation.
The second thing
I'll send
is
you
people...
some aftershave.
back from the '90s.
Yeah, I've got one just for you. It looks a bit cloudy, but ignore that.
and secondly, people listen for the expertise.
Well, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think a lot of people push back when I say that and say, actually, you do know what you're talking about. But I think, as with anything, you tend to just have a bit of imposter syndrome, don't you? When you're trying to talk about something
seriously. I think it's never really been a thing for us, has it? We obviously know... You know, we're experts in a multitude of fields, and so I think we've been blessed there.
We're at the vanguard of just human invention and thought and creativity. So
completely.
Yeah, I've come to realise that during this episode.
Thanks.
I didn't think it before, but yeah, it's amazing to witness and be a part of. But yeah, maybe you're right.
Thank you.
You're right.
Hang on. What's that smell? That smells bullshit. Oh yeah. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcast. You maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes, so if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. Podbiblemag.com.
It's a drunken soiree in the Within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.